Another day. We thank you for the breath in our lungs and the fact that our hearts are beating and that we have the privilege of being in your kingdom and following you. We thank you for choosing us. Thank you for all the transformations that you're doing in our lives. We ask, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you would just fill this place with your presence, your manifest presence. So much, your presence is greater than the anointing and any human emotion. I thank you, Yeshua, for the fact, the truth, that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're right there in the midst of them. So we know you're here. Would you enable every one of us to perceive your presence? Would you grant us the grace to worship you in spirit and in truth? Draw us with cords of loving kindness, Father. As we draw near to you, we know that you'll draw near to us. Thank you. And Father, we ask you to manifest your kingdom and your will on this earth, even as it is in heaven. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for our nation's leaders and the leaders of all the nations across the globe. We ask for revival. We ask you to manifest yourself. We ask for salvations of souls. We ask for divine holy protection, especially in the Middle East and all across the globe. We pray for protection in our nation. We ask that you would expose and deliver us from evil and from the evil one. We thank you that you are our provider. And you provide our bread every day. Thank you. Thank you for providing everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. And it's found in you. I'm so thankful, Yeshua, that you didn't leave us alone. You didn't leave us as orphans. That you gave us your spirit, and you and your Father and the Holy Spirit moved into our mobile home. And we get to do life with you. You do all things well, and your ways are perfect. And we surrender. We surrender all to you. Thank you. Thank you. And we do pray this in the name that's above every name, the name that's higher than any other name. In the name of Yeshua, God with us, Emmanuel, the light of the world, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, our soon coming King, and one day our Bridegroom, forever. forever. Amen. All right. Today's the last day of these 3 weeks. It's not the last day, but and Danny's going to come share a joke or a story or both or something.
Hey, break a tradition, you know, that's a lot of fun. I was just thinking, my dad's doing okay. He didn't go back to the hospital for a third time, so he's just hanging in there, he said. I was thinking, I don't remember if I've told you the story about him dating or not. I don't remember telling that. Well, about 2 years ago, he was 94, and I called him just checking, said, how you doing? He goes, I'm doing good. He said, just want you to know, went out on a date last night. I said, what? He goes, yeah, I just got tired of sitting on the porch and staring at all the cars going by, and I just needed some company. So I called this lady up and asked her out for a date, and she said yes. He said, I know her. She's from church, good Christian woman, you know. She's a little young for me. She's only like 75 or 77, I think. And so I said, whoa, Dad. He said, so I asked her out. She said, okay. He said, but there was only one catch. I don't drive at night. So we had a long conversation, and finally she agreed to come pick me up. So she comes, picks me up. We go out to eat, and we order our food and sit down. He said, and I just looked her right across the table. I said, I just want to be honest with you to start with. I'm not looking to get married. And she just grinned. He said, she just grinned and said, okay. So we had a nice visit, and she took me home, and I said goodnight, and I went in the house, and she left. I said, well, Dad, are you going to have a second date? And he goes, I don't think so. I think my opening line didn't work too well. I'm not looking to get married. I said, probably not, Dad. It would have been nicer if you'd complimented her or something first or something like that. You know, maybe worked it in the conversation near the end and not at the beginning. He said, yeah, well, it's kind of quiet now. We just sort of ate and chit-chatted about nothing. So I asked him the other day, has he asked anybody else out? He goes, no. He said, I think words got around the church. I'm not getting married again. And so you got to understand, he was the worship leader in the church. And there are a lot of retirees in the church. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. There was about 12, I think, or 15 in the church. And he said, they've all found out I'm not getting married again. So I thought, Dad, you're a hoot. I'll tell you what. Now he's 95, and you know, he's getting better. He's got home health coming 3 times a week. My brother is still there. He said, I'm probably going to stay the whole week, which means he'll use up a whole week of his vacation just to stay with Dad, which is good. It's good. It's not where I can just pop down there, you know. It costs a lot to travel from here to there and back. So that, and so he's hanging in there, you know, one day at a time. That's what we said whenever I said bye. I said, just one day at a time. He goes, yep, one day at a time. And he said, but I sure do miss leading singing at church. He said, but every now and then I forget the words. And he said, it's really bad to stand out front looking at all these people, and you have no clue what you're supposed to be saying. Anyway, one day at Starbucks, there was this duck comes walking in. Walks in, walks up to the counter, and the little lady behind the counter says, a duck? What in the world is a duck doing in here? Duck looked at her. He says, could I have some coffee and a donut? She goes, she about passed out. She said, you talk. He goes, yeah. She goes, sure. So she gives him a cup of coffee, gets him a donut, and takes it. She said, no charge today. People ain't going to believe it anyway. No charge today. Go sit in the corner. So he went and sat. Whoops, out of paper he had under his arm. He's sitting there reading the paper, eating his donut, drinking his coffee. Well, this goes on after, you know, few days and maybe a couple of weeks, and then a month goes by and he's still doing the same thing, coming in, gonna have a coffee and a donut, and she's just not charging him for it. Just because he's a talking duck. One day she was bored because there was nobody in there but the duck. So she walked over and sat down. She said, "So, did you have a job? Because he had some money." She goes, "Yeah, I'm a bricklayer." She said, "A bricklayer? Yeah, I'm working across the street. You see those construction guys over there? I'm laying those brick walls. That's what I do. I'm a bricklayer." She said, "Okay, just thought it was real strange." But she went back to work. Somebody came up. So this is going on. About a month after that, the circus comes into town. And one of the guys from the circus pops in Starbucks for coffee. So he goes in. He orders 12 coffees for whoever else is working with him. And 12 of the croissants or whatever. And the duck had come and left. And she goes, "Listen, we got this duck that comes in that can talk." The guy goes, "You're kidding." And she goes, "No, I'm serious. He comes in every morning. He drinks coffee, eats a donut, reads the paper, and he can talk." He said, here's my card. Give it to him, okay? So he leaves. Next morning, the duck comes in. Cup of coffee, donut. Goes, sits in his little far corner table over there, pulls out his paper. And the lady walks over, and she said, "Here, I want to give you this." And he said, "What is it?" She said, "Well, this guy from the circus came by, and he wants to talk to you." And the duck says, "What? Yeah, the guy at the circus, he wants to hire you." He goes, "That's odd. We're talking about the same thing, right? You know, this great big giant tent." She said, "Yeah, this big tent, you know, where they have all these animals in the cages." Yeah. "And, you know, on the top, it's got this big old giant hole because the heat rises and it goes out the top. And all these people are swinging on it." He said, "Yeah, same thing." He looks at the girl and he says, "I don't understand. What would the circus want with a bricklayer?"
I love watching y'all's responses. It was like it just went deep. Yeah. I don't even have a comment. I've figured out what my problem is with jokes, though, through all the years of listening to them. And Danny would always say, "Oh, honey, no, you got to hear this." And I go, "Honey, you know it's not going to be funny." No, this one's funny. You'll get this one. And it never works. But I figured it out. When I hear a joke, especially if I don't know what's coming, I am in my left brain trying to understand it. I'm trying to, it needs to make sense, logic, right? Therefore, I miss the humor that is not supposed to make sense. Anyway. Yeah, no, I don't. It gets to a point where I just go, "Oh, this is now." I've learned it's a joke, but early on, I just believed people. If they told me something, I believed them. I was just black and white, and so that's what got me in a lot of trouble. There's a mic.
Danny, I knew it was a joke when he said that he ordered a donut at Starbucks because Starbucks doesn't have donuts.
Awesome. I'm red X-ing that donut. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm hungry. So, I know. Nice. She made him grit sandwich for birthday.
Was it just parents?
All right. So this morning, as I shared, we're going to just open the mic up and allow all of you to share whatever you'd like to share, bragging on Yahweh as worship. And we'll just go with the flow. So I'm also inviting the facilitators, you know, to share as well. That doesn't mean you're going to share somebody's GE. We don't do that here unless somebody gives us permission. But you can certainly share personally what the week's been like for you and what the Lord's done for you, etc. All right? So who wants to be the brave person to get out of the boat first and walk on the water and worship? I saw that. I caught you. I saw that. You definitely are. Your shirt says I'm all in, so come on. You got to be true to what you're saying there, Brian. There it is. Here, Brian, you can use this mic.
To be what? Oh, okay. Morning, everybody. Whew, it's been 3 weeks, huh? Not sure where my brain is, but it's around here somewhere. A little bit of it's here, a little bit of it's in the Father's house. I don't know. It's everywhere. So, anyway, we'll gather it all up next 2 or 3 weeks, maybe. We'll see. But no, it's been an amazing 3 weeks. Just absolutely amazing. So grateful, so thankful for what you guys do here. Open this place up just to come in and get some healing that you don't even know you know what you need, right? So that's just really good. And the love of the Father just flows through this place. It's so amazing. It's just so amazing. And the thing is that He wants it way more than we do. He wants us whole. Real quickly, we had a leadership meeting at our church back in Idaho a month or so ago. And they had this chart, and the first column was like, what does it look like to be whole? Second column was like, what does it look like to have a strong family? And the third column was like, and I remember going through this leadership meeting, everybody's calling out this stuff for what it's like to get whole. So I talked to the pastor a couple of days later, and I said, hey, listen, I didn't even make the first column. He said, you know what, Brian? Probably most everybody in there didn't. But I knew that I needed some stuff in me to get healed. But I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was. And I didn't understand why I was doing some of the things I was doing, because I just didn't know. But the Lord was just helping me through that, and I came here in January, and that's when it all started. I didn't go to church, didn't grow up in church. I was like 37 before I got gloriously saved, and I was just a heathen until then. It just was. We didn't go to church. Dad was a workaholic, and, you know, I had a whole lot of the world in me, so, and I knew there was a whole lot to get out, and then a whole lot of the kingdom to bring in, right? And so I came here in January, and my whole thing was when I got gloriously saved was we never did relationship at home. We never did community. We never did anything like that. So relationship was the big deal for me. It just was. So just started. He had me in John 15. That's where I started, and that's where I still am. I just, something about John 15. It's just that relational side of Him that He does that. It's just so good. So that's where I've been for a lot of years. And then I got to a point where I just felt like I was bumping up against a ceiling. Just couldn't go any deeper with the Father. You know, I just couldn't. Just kept bumping up against the ceiling. And I know that Susan was here last August, and so she was telling me all about it, stuff. And so I really didn't think too much about it. Just being honest, I just did it. But I couldn't figure out why I was doing some of the things I was doing. And so He started showing me. He started giving me language for something I didn't have language for. And I thought, and this, it hit me. I need to go to this place that Susan is talking about. And so she says, okay, I'm going to give you the number. You're going to take care of it. You're going to do it all yourself. Just, if you want to do this, you'll do it. So he gave me Cindy G's number, called her up, talked to her. I had this big thing I was going to, she stopped me about, I don't know, two sentences in, said, okay, that's enough. Don't need to hear no more. Just let me know when you're coming. So that's what she did. So it's like, I think, oh, okay, all right. So we came, and Suzanne and Greg were my facilitators, and wow, that was just so good. So Monday through Friday, every day, just these God encounters, it's just amazing, and God is just opening up, and, you know, identity is a big deal. We all know this, right? It's just a big deal. But if you would have asked me how my identity was and who I was, and it you know, I would have told you, I said, well, you know, Christ in me, the hope of glory, you know. And so all this stuff, but it was like I didn't get it. Through these God encounters, the Father was just showing me just how to be relational. Just in Yeshua, we just hang out together. And one thing I found out about grace was, grace to me, this is how he started with me. He didn't start with the things that were wrong with me. He didn't go into these things. No, you know what he did? He reestablished relationship with me first. Oh, it's like, oh. And I finally realized this later in the week, what he was doing. And I thought, oh, wow, that's what grace looks like. That's what it is. Because he wants relationship established with him more than anything else. Because he knows that if he can tap into that place, he'll take care of everything else. Everything else will work its way out, right? And that's what he did for like 3 days or 4 days. And I knew I had some issues I wanted to deal with, so we did on Friday. And that was really wonderful. But one thing he showed me in a GE was, I got to be careful because I'll go back there and then I'll just end up on the floor and you guys do what you do. So I ended up in the throne room. I ended up in this place with the Father. And I remember seeing him. Of course, Yeshua was with me because I was hanging on pretty tight. And there he was. And he was just looking around. And then all of a sudden, I'll just make a long story shorter, he locked eyes with me, the Father. And I thought, oh, no. I didn't know what to do. I just started coming apart on the inside. And Yeshua's right there with me. And he's just got a grin on his face. He just does that to me. It's like, he's not saying a word, but he's got this grin on his face. And it's like, and then all of a sudden, the Father gets up, and he starts walking towards me. It's like, oh, Jesus. And here he comes. And when he gets to me, he puts his arms around me, and he grabs me, and he says this. He says, welcome home. He said this to me 3 times, and it was in that place that Rhonda was talking about yesterday, was talking about belonging. I tell you what, I've never felt so belonged, if you will, in my life. I mean, I've never felt that before. I don't know why hands are shaking. That's because of him, I know. So I've never felt that before, and it's like, wow. I knew. It changed everything with me that I belonged, because in this place of belonging, all of a sudden my belief just went through the roof. It was like, it wasn't even an issue, it wasn't even a question. Because it came out of that place right there in faith and everything else. It was like belonging is a big deal. It's a big deal to him. It's a big deal to the Father. And I remember he just wrapped me up in his arms, and pretty soon I just went right inside of him. And it's like, wow, this is different. Right inside of him, I could see his heart pounding. I could see the blood flowing. I could just sense this, who he was, and I could sense this heart connection that he was doing with me. And it was just, I don't know, I was just kind of coming undone on the inside. I really didn't know how to navigate that. So I just, he just loving me. I've never felt love like that before, ever. It was so good. So he's really showing me identity in who I am. And it's the identity is Christ in me. Not so much I'm in Christ, but Christ in me. That's what changes everything. So beautiful. So important. And that was just one little thing. I won't go into all the others, but there was so much more. But positioning is something that Rhonda talked about yesterday. And giving him your yes, something she talked about yesterday. And surrendering is something she talked about yesterday. There's only one thing that I could give the Father. If I had one thing to give him, it's my yes. And I'll let him do the rest out of that place. So important. So anyway, thank you.
So, I don't even know why I had the high privilege and calling to be a facilitator for this beautiful man and Paul. I can't even tell you. I just feel the Spirit so much. What the Lord has done, it's just been amazing. And, Ed and I were talking, like, I don't know why. Like, first, Greg and I got to do it that one weekend. And I did complain to Rhonda every day because, we're busy. And then the first day, I'm like, I need to be here every day. It was so good. I learned not to complain. I'm trying because, things can be overwhelming. But it was so, so amazing. And then I got to this week. And so Ed and I were talking, and he said, well, honey, you understand what men go through. Ed and I. Our journey, we live in the men's house where men get healed. And it's just like, what a privilege. It's all him, too. We're talking about facilitators here, right? So then Brian goes home with this amazing experience, and he tells Paul. And Paul goes, I got to go. So Deborah Kay comes, brings Susan. Susan goes and testifies, doesn't even tell him he needs to come. He says, I got to go. He goes, testifies to the man, and Paul goes, I've got to go. I love that. I don't want to be in front of Rhonda. I love that. That's just how God's doing it here. So, and Paul, he got what he came for. Oh, my goodness. It was so, so good. All him. He got what he came for. He told Brian the last day, he goes, I got what I came for. The rest are yours. It was so cool. So Paul had to leave this morning in case you guys didn't notice with the gals he came with. So again, just a mighty privilege. So to be in Brian's God Encounters is so special for me. I don't know why I get to, but I'm very thankful because it's very relational, and I love relational. And when he's getting his healing, it's all good, but when he's with the Father and the Son, I get to go there with them as a facilitator. It's just amazing. I mean, I'm there. I was there when the Father got off the throne and ran to the Son. I was just a mess. I got to experience. I got to watch it. I got to sense it. It was such a gift. And that happened a lot in his God Encounters. Like, I'm either sobbing or celebrating or dancing. I mean, he likes to celebrate, so it's been kind of good. But he doesn't mind if I celebrate. So anyway, what a gift. I can't even tell you. So I think the purpose of a facilitator, of course, we all know to pray and to help when they're stuck. I didn't have to help him too much. A couple times I get a word he was looking for. And that happened. But that we get to, okay, let me say it this way. I haven't had a chance to tell you this, but the last Wednesday, you came in and tell them what kind of God encounter you wanted that day.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, so like I was like done. This has been a heavy week this week. And like Wednesday came around, it's like my capacity is like capacitated.
I understand that word.
I mean, there was like, we went to the house for lunch, and Susan goes, "Oh, I'm excited for you to get to do this." And I'm going, "You know, hang on. I don't know. I just don't know. Anyway, my wife, beautiful bride, she just encourages her husband. So, well, did you ask Holy Spirit? Well, did you ask Yeshua? Did you ask, you know, it's like, you know. So, anyway, thank you. And I'm going, oh, I got peace. I know. And so, anyway, I come here, and I get here, and I walk in, and they're already there because I'm a couple minutes late. Sorry for that. I don't know where time goes here. It's like,
well,
what? Yeah. So I go in there, and so Suzanne goes, "Hey, Brian, that's... you ready?" You know, I usually come in pretty charged and excited. And I'm excited. You excited for me? Come on, let's do this. Come on. And so anyway, I come in and I'm just like, whoa, you know. So I sit down and I said, you know, I don't know if I could do one. I just didn't know if I could do it, a GE. I just didn't know if I had it in me because I was still trying to get all the marbles back in the bag from all week, you know. And so, okay, so Suzanne goes, okay, all right, let's just sit in his presence. I thought, oh, I could do that. I could do that. So some time went by, started praying, and then there I was, sitting on this bench with my friend. With my friend. And that was a pretty amazing Wednesday, wasn't it? Oh, my gosh. And this is one thing I found out real quick is we have the Father, we have Yahweh, we have Yeshua, call him my friend, and then we have the Holy Spirit, our comforter. And this is what I found out is when I need a father, he comes as a father to me. And when I need a friend, he comes as a friend to me. And when I need a comforter, he comes as a comforter to me. Wow. Just amazing.
So Paul and I were like, okay, let's just all get in his presence. We're so blessed. And so Paul's gone, I'm gone, but I'm with him and the Lord. Like, I just get this privilege, and Rhonda can explain it. As a facilitator, you get to be there with them in the good and the bad and the ugly. But it's so much good with this guy because you're always in the presence. And anyway, I had the privilege that morning, an unusual one, of the Lord started a God encounter with me, and he said, we're going to be in it all day. And but it was a setup for this, and it was with the comforter, and that's unusual for me. Usually it's a father son, but I got to experience the comforter. So anyway, I'm continuing this all day. So when we are going to our each individual place, I'm back in my God encounter. So I'm hanging out with the comforter, having a picnic, having a blast. It was so good. And okay, Lord, help me with this here. Oh, so at one point I was writing my notes. I said, the Holy Spirit said, this is an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then Brian, at one point, he was starting to talk a little, sharing what was happening. He immediately said, the Lord wants to fill us with this Holy Spirit. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just wrote that down. And then he said, I'm also your teacher. And then Brian said, and he wants to teach us. I'm like, what? And so at the end, we got to celebrate all this when it was done. And Brian was trying to explain how he was connecting with Yeshua eye to eye. Something. He couldn't come up with the word.
Yeah. So we were sitting on this bench. It's this little bench in this little tiny garden. It wasn't very big at all. And just sitting on this bench. And he wasn't looking at me, but I knew. He was looking at me. You ever been there? Yeah.
And I said, mind-sighting. You were mind-sighting. Yeah. And then, see, Rhonda asked me to share this.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't fully understand. I hope she can help us a little bit. And then she said, as the facilitator, I was mindsighting with them. Come on. We're like, can you explain that?
I just thought that was
so cool. So remember what mindsighting is. It's that part of my brain that is looking and listening to your brain. So Suzanne's brain was attuned. And when you attune, you start mindsighting. Your brain does it automatically. It's autopilot. You can't make it happen. And she's tuned in significantly with Brian. Brian obviously trusts her, feels safe with her, so his brain responds. So as he's encountering the Lord, and remember that happens in the right prefrontal cortex, is where we encounter the Lord. That's also where we mindsight. And so he's with the Lord, mindsighting with the Lord, while your two brains are still attuned to each other. And so her brain picks up on what your brain's doing. And your brain communicates it.
And that's the major privilege of being a facilitator. Like, wow, how blessed I got. It's not about me, but I can't even explain what a gift this has been. Autopilot.
And I want to say, just because you're a facilitator doesn't mean you're mindsighting somebody with somebody. It's a relational aspect of two brains, and it can only happen one-on-one. You can't do it in a group. It has to be one-on-one, and it has to be two brains that trust each other and are okay with being transparent. If you're not okay with being transparent, you won't let people mindsight with you. So don't get freaked out and sit there thinking, oh, man, Rhonda's going to be mindsighting me, and I don't want her to see. You know, because your brain won't, and my brain will pick up on it just like that, and it won't happen. So it has to be two people that feel safe and comfortable. And that's one reason why we started GE with a safe place. Because we're setting the stage for your brain to say, I'm safe. Because we know that if you're going to hear from the Lord, you have to mindsight with him.
Right.
That's the communication mode that Yahweh has established in our brain is for us. And remember, your right prefrontal cortex is no words.
Right.
It's perception. It just knows. And then it takes that and communicates it to your left brain, which is where you find the words. And that's why sometimes, you know, when you're sharing what happened in a GE, you're trying to find the words, right? Because it was a right prefrontal cortex event that has no words. And we have to assign words to it. That's why sometimes we have to use five words to try to describe that one event.
So what really hit me when Rhonda said this to me when I was kind of sharing that part, that you mindsided with the Lord,
right,
and he mindsided with you, and I was mindsiding with the Lord, and he mindsided with me, and then that gave us the ability to mindsight. It was just beautiful. But so I also want to say that you have an anointing of a preacher, teacher, that what you shared today, I'm like, yes, go. That was beautiful. So anything more you want to say, Mr. Preacher?
There's always one more thing, right? I promise you this is one more thing, right? How many times have you heard that? It's like everybody's... Anyway. So what she just said about no words. So back in January when I was here, we coined this new term, unwordy. Remember? Because there was no words. There's no language for it. Remember? That's unwordy. Yeah, that's good, Sally.
Awesome. I want to point out also, as Al's coming up, this morning I felt the Lord tell me to look for this particular teaching. I have a stack of white notebooks with teachings, and I couldn't remember exactly which one it was in. Anyway, I found it, When you were talking, you said you were talking all around this verse. This was what he wanted me to share. John 3:30. Most of you can quote it. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let me read it to you literally, how it really is worded. Then he, Yeshua, Yahweh, must increase, but I am made decreasing. And see, we get this John 3:30 and we think we have to decrease. We get it flipped because we make so much about us. And we go, oh, I got to decrease so he can increase. And it's the opposite. He has to increase so that I am made decreasing. And if we try to decrease in our own strength apart from him increasing, that's a work of the soul, and that won't last. It won't stick. And so to do John 3:30 by allowing Christ to increase, which is mindsight, that's how that happens, that belonging, it's critical. And as he increases in that identity of himself to us, then that gives us our identity. Now Brian knows he's a son of Yahweh, and nobody can tell him any different because he's experienced it. He hasn't just read it in the Word. It's a living, breathing experience that he's had with his Father that nobody can take away. And by experiencing him, Yahweh increased in him. And then when he experiences his friend, Yeshua, Yeshua increases in him. And then the natural byproduct of Yahweh and Yeshua and the Holy Spirit, who's the comforter, he's also the teacher, so many things, right? He leads and guides us into all truth. As that happens, then we naturally decrease because it becomes all about him. And if life is all about you, that tells me that you would highly be benefited from some encounters with the Lord, because you can't encounter him without recognizing how wow he is and how little we are. It just happens. Amen.
Good morning, all of y'all. I don't know if I said that right. I wasn't born in the South. I didn't grow up in the South, but I use it sometimes because my mother did, and I was raised by my mother. So I say Southern things like fixin' to, and all of y'all, and I eat grits. Mom never made grits, but I lived in Georgia for a while, and when I was in the Army, at an Army base, I was assigned there. It's over by the Alabama line, and the base is on both sides of the state line. So on weekend passes and things like that, going into town, I learned about Southern things, grits, red eye gravy. First time we went to a cafe with some other GIs on a weekend pass, waitress came to the table, and she said, took our orders, and I ordered eggs, bacon. She says, y'all want grits and red eye gravy with that? And I said, what? Anyway, she explained it, and so I was introduced to grits and red eye gravy, and I still eat that. I fix grits several times a week, but not like Rhonda. I had no idea that there was such a thing as a grit sandwich, and she makes them. I can eat one for a week. It's huge. Anyway, I'm Al, and it says right here, Cindy Wise husband. I have an identity as Al, but most people know me as Cindy Wise husband. Well, recently we were in the house, living in the lower level of the Joy House. We can say we're under joy all the time. And this week there's been some people living up there, so we can hear walking. Can't hear them talking, but we can hear the footsteps, and it's charming because there's finally somebody up there. So when Mim lived there, she could move around, but she had a walker, and we could hear her too. Her footsteps were soft and petite, and not, wore slippers a lot, but we could hear the wheels on her walker squeaking, And she's a high-speed walker because they squeak, 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 all across the floor. So now it's nice to have somebody up there living above us. And so, well, Cindy and I were in the house, and she asked me to take a spider out rather than just kill it. And so I did. We had dinner and a movie. And in talking, I found out she was a web designer.
She was a what?
A web designer. I don't date spiders. I did. I took the spider out, and we had a nice dinner. So anyway, we're supposed to be telling God stories, and so Brian described how he saw Yeshua, and I see Yeshua in different ways. I was raised a Catholic boy, altar boy, choir boy, if you can imagine that. You might have to close your eyes and squint hard to imagine that, but I was actually an altar boy wearing those frilly, lacy shirt things, helping the priest on the altar. But I'm grown up now. So the God stories, I was sitting over there one day, right about where Chase is sitting, and Yahweh healed me of post-traumatic stress disorder. There's no cure for that. They can manage the symptoms. There's no pill. There's no drug. But Yahweh healed me right over there. And Brian described seeing Yeshua in different ways, and I too see him. So in a Catholic view of Yeshua, he's that Renaissance painting type Yeshua. Long hair, beard, mustache, a long white robe, sandals, and a rope around his waist like a belt. But sometimes, and we're sitting on a log in the Rocky Mountains at the top of a hiking trail on the way to Lost Lake. It's an actual place, and I've been there. That's our safe place. Well, he comes and sits on a log like he sat next to Brian. And sometimes he's wearing jeans and tennis and a T-shirt, like I dress. And he doesn't have long hair and a beard. He's more like a businessman. Parts his hair on the left, just like I did. When I had hair, I parted it on the left and combed it over. So he's not really all things to all people. He's just Yeshua, and that's the Son of God. And so he can look like whatever he wants to, really. But he comes around looking like me, maybe, so I can actually relate to him, because there's a guy that looks like me. And so he's not always that Renaissance guy with sandals and dirty feet. He's a regular guy, jeans, tennis, T-shirt, just like me. So I was introduced to God Encounters. Well, Cindy and I came to the farm after conferring with Greg and Wanda. We've been friends for pretty much 40 years now. And so I know him pretty well. I know him so well that our son married their daughter, and we share grandchildren. That's pretty cool friendship. So Greg has mentored me over the years. I'm older, but he's wiser in a lot of ways, and he mentored me, told me about God Encounters, and we had a prayer ministry in another church together for inner healing. And so even here on the farm, Greg facilitated many of my God Encounters. And so we have that kind of a relationship. Yahweh works through God Encounters. And so there was one day Yeshua was with me. We were sitting on the log. He had his arm around me like a buddy. We're kicking the log is up off the ground, and it's blocking the trail to keep vehicles off of it. And so it's so big that we're sitting up on top of this horizontal log on the ground, but our feet don't touch the ground. So we're kicking our feet like little kids do. There's Yeshua, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, kicking his feet with his arm around me like a buddy. I can smell him. I can feel his body warmth. And that's real to me. And so I'm a cancer survivor. I stopped counting at about 9 or 10 when Yeshua told me in a God encounter Stop counting, just like he told David. Don't count. It's not you that's doing this, it's me. And I've had several cancers removed since then, and I'm still cancer-free. But every once in a while, it comes up. And Yeshua takes care of it. So he heals today, despite my early teaching. And Rhonda's mentioned her early teaching. God works today just like he always has. All that stuff still applies today. So God encounters are valid and they're real. And Greg taught me that I can actually do them by myself. So my early devotion in the morning includes a God encounter. Many times we just have a conversation. Sometimes I'm healed. Sometimes we just talk. One time he took me into outer space and we turned around and looked back at the earth. Just like the blue marble picture the astronauts took. Now, the astronauts are up there today, and they're still taking pictures of the moon and the earth from space, and so it looks pretty cool. But we didn't need a spacesuit. We didn't need a rocket ship. We could breathe, and it wasn't cold. That's Yahweh. That's Yeshua. And you can have that personal kind of relationship, not a Catholic boy kind, where I know a lot about him, but there's nothing personal. He was not my personal savior as a Catholic boy. He was just God and God's son. And I knew all about the resurrection. I could recite the catechism. Who God made you? Who made you? God made me. Anyway, those basic things like that. But a God encounter is a personal time that he spends with you, Susan, Brian, Tammy, and all the rest of you, one-on-one. This is Yeshua. He's got all the people in the world in his hand. But he's here with you. One day he was right over there where Chase is, sitting by me. So those things are real. Betty,
yes?
I can't bring you the mic because I'm using it.
It's okay.
Okay.
When you had a post-traumatic stress syndrome, like what's your symptoms? What did you do?
It's a long story, but I can shorten it.
Yeah.
I never say make a long story short, but I just said it, so I guess I do say it. I graduated high school in 1966, just a few miles from here. I'm getting there.
It's okay.
I joined the Army right after high school. Uh-huh. I knew I wouldn't be going to college. Mom had 8 kids, and she's a single mom. That's another story. I was a ground soldier in the Vietnam War, and so I had to deal with all that chaos of combat. I knew a lot about weapons. I had very extensive training in the weapons area, so I taught the other men in my squad how to use different weapons. And so I knew how to do that. I dug foxholes. They shot at us. We shot at them. And all that chaos and stress that goes with combat. One of my jobs, if we lost a soldier, was to put all his personal belongings in a box, take everything out that was explosive or government property, and box it up, send it home. I didn't like that, but that was my job, so I did it. All those stressful things, and there are more, pile up, and we're supposed to still function as a soldier. We have a mission to do. Our mission was not to find enemy soldiers and look for them or pick a fight. Our job as an engineer, an Army construction guy, was to build things. So we built infrastructure. We built refugee housing. But occasionally we were attacked. I have 6 battle stars, 6 major battles. There are firefights and ambushes and things like that along the way. So I wasn't just hiding or building things. We were active in the war. We built refugee housing also. Things like that. So all that stress and all that Well, another job I didn't like was writing the letters home. I was a clerk. In my day-to-day job, I was a company clerk. And the officers, the company commander, and the platoon leaders are officers, lieutenants, and captains. They were supposed to write the letters home about how their son or husband died. Occasionally, I was asked to do that. And I was good at it. I was very creative. I wrote short stories in high school that the teacher read from the front of the class. So anyway, that's a gift that Yahweh gave me, and I could use it for that, so I did. But it was one of those things I didn't want to do, and it caused a lot of stress. I didn't like doing it, but I did it because it was my duty. So all that, I was 19 when I started. I was 21 when I left the war and came back to the United States. So that's where all that came from. They were spraying defoliant on the jungle, a defoliant that's so strong it kills triple canopy jungle in just a few days to find the enemy soldiers where they were hiding. But it was also toxic, and nobody told the soldiers. So all that together, cancer-causing, I still have to deal with that, but Yahweh's a healer. I'm ready to go home whenever he calls me, but for now, I'm here. And this is what I do. So that's my God story, and I'm sticking to it.
Two Cindy's. So disrespectful. I'm older.
You are.
Yes. So I don't have a. I just want to share that we've said this before, that healing is the byproduct of being in the presence of the Lord. And Brian was sharing that he, you don't go in with your problems. You go in and he makes a relationship with you, shows you who he is and who you are to him and how precious that is. And then healing flows out of that at his pace, at his direction, in his order. And I've shared this before. I still have my original agenda list, and it's all still there because the things on my list weren't important to him. They were the byproduct of other things that needed to be healed more importantly. But all this to say that this relationship and the God encounters and the spending the time with him is all unto something. He doesn't just do things randomly. And I just want you to be a neat person, Laura. So I'm just going to come and spend some time with you and show you who I am. He does that, but it's unto something, and it's unto something in his body. He's building his bride. And it says in Scripture that we are going to be without spot and without wrinkle. And I'm a sewer, so I picture fabric. It takes a lot of steam and a lot of heat to get the wrinkles and the stuff out of fabric, especially the remnants, because remnants are the stuff that goes on the bolt first. And it's often wrinkled and smashed, but it's pure. It's the purest thing that came off the loom. It doesn't have any dust on it usually. Hasn't been used. So it's not a scrap. A remnant is not a scrap. It's part of the original design. And he's bringing us back to that. And so the question is, what are we willing to go through? What are we willing to do? What are we willing to lay down and surrender that isn't from him and doesn't bring life to us? So it's about building this body that he, for some reason, loves. And I don't try to analyze that too much because I come up against too many things that I do wrong. And I think, how could he love me? But he does. So we just need to accept that. And just be aware that all the things he's having us do, all this building up of relationship, all this building up of the body of Christ is unto something. And we're going to be ushered in one day. And wow, are we going to be moving around then? I mean, we're just going to be doing so much, so many things. And I believe it's some of the things that we long for here that we can't have, that get stolen because we live in this world. But he's the God of exchanges. He's going to take all that heartache and all that loss and all that grief, and he's going to exchange it for his life, his blood, and his purpose. And we have purpose into eternity. So I just encourage you, when you're doing a God encounter, it's not just for that little two-hour session or the hour a day or the half-hour day that you spend with him. It's unto the building up of something that he's envisioned from before the foundations of the earth. So we're part of that. What an exciting thing. What an exciting thing that we get to share that and bring other people into it. And the ones that we can't reach, we get to pray for. And just like Rhonda shared about China, he is more than able and more than capable of appearing where he needs to appear. When people have not had the privilege of hearing the gospel, they're not lost. It's his job to make that happen. And we get to cooperate with him, but there are people that can't be reached, and he's going to reach them in his timing and his purpose. So we just need to have, that's bad language, I know. I hope that we can see and have confidence in him, that he is able. He is able to bring this about. And so just have confidence in him that if he's able to do it in me, as ugly and sinful as I've been, in his eyes I'm not. You know, so I just love him. We love all of you. We're so thankful that y'all could come. And we just get to do this life together, day by day, whether we're in Idaho, whether we're in Maryland, whether we're in Florida, or here in Missouri. Anywhere, we get to do life with him.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks. Happy birthday, honey.
So I want to comment. First, I wanted to comment on you and your comment where you called me. And I did interrupt him because he was doing, I think you were trying to convince me. I don't know. But I heard the Lord saying, he's desperate, and he wants me, which is, I'm like, all right, let's just cut to the chase because I'm pretty bullet point. So let's.
Okay, that's enough.
I did. But he wasn't even intended. That was the Lord. And so then a little later you're up here, and you said you gave your yes. That's the big deal, the yes. And so then I was thinking more on that to my group. So I had Susan and Tammy and Laura and Deborah Kay, who flew out last night. And one of the days we had a pretty big hard day, and it was a hard day. It was a hard day, and the enemy wanted to split our group, but I had the yes of all four of these ladies that stayed in the game because they want what they came here to get, and was more of the Lord. And then I was like, wow, that's so cool. And then I thought, but wait, I gave my yes, and there's so many layers to the yes. And so I think it's pretty easy to go, oh yeah, you know, the Lord wants me to give my yes. Like, it's a big deal. It has a trajectory, is that the right word? To change everything in your life by giving the yes, and then at the next level, giving your yes and giving your yes. So.
That fits perfectly with this verse that just came to my mind when Cindy Y was talking. You know, if a man proposes to a woman, he's already said yes. And if that woman doesn't say yes, there's no wedding. There's no marriage. And Yeshua's already said yes. And the proposal is out there for whosoever will. But we have to say yes, or there won't be that marriage. It won't happen. And the verse that had come to my mind as Cindy was talking, Cindy Y, is John 3:29. He that is having the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom is now standing and hearing him, the bridegroom. He must be rejoicing with joy. In other words, he must rejoice, celebrate the fact that Yeshua, the bridegroom, is glad to be with me. And that's what Brian was talking about. because of the voice of this bridegroom, that's why you must rejoice with joy. Then this, my joy, not just his joy, but my joy, is now made fulfilled. I don't know. I know I didn't understand the importance and the value of joy before, until I understood.